Dave Glover and his guests, and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to The Drive Time. This is Hour 3 for Wednesday, March 16th. Joining me in the studio for our weekly rendition of Consider This Live is Professor of E-Journalism, Rob Washburn from Loyalist College. Rob, today we're going to be talking about economic development, some proposals, all kinds of other things, too, that are happening here, in not just in the county, but also in the town of Cobourg, and also some objections from the Taxpayers Federation and some of the plans that are being brought forward. So I figured it'd be a great opportunity. So well, before we get to that, since we're talking about economic development, which for the most part is dreams, here is Fleetwood Mac on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. The song, of course, Dreams. We'll be right back. Yeah, Fleetwood Mac and Dreams right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. As I say, joining me in studio right now, Rob Washburn. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Always a pleasure to have you in here. As the listeners know, you are a regular contributor, my regular Wednesday night co-host, actually, at this time of the day. And we are talking about economic development. Well, that's sort of the broad umbrella, I guess, isn't it?
The local economy, definitely. And the first thing I wanted us to talk about today, Dave, was something called the CIVI, or the Community Improvement Venture Initiative. It's been talked about in the past, about a year now. We've seen it appearing in different reports being referred to. But the final report came before council, a committee of the whole, on Monday.
Right.
Fascinating document. What it stands for, or what this group is about, is it's an arm-length agency from the town. And it will be advocating to bring in investment and development, particularly for the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have their own board of directors, and the idea is that they're going to have a strategic plan. They're going to manage things in the downtown. But most importantly, and the thing that's causing the most controversy, is there's a financial aspect to it. One of their roles is to loan money or to co-invest in projects in the downtown. The idea is sort of to create a business hub that will attract investment, attract people who are interested in developing commercial enterprises into the downtown to sort of bring it to life. But what's interesting, and you mentioned it earlier, is that this has raised the hackles of the Coburg Taxpayers Association. Mm-hmm. And almost the same day, on Monday, they sent out a press release saying that they felt that the CIVI business case was flawed, that there's going to be about $10 million of taxpayers' money being loaned out, and that there's an accountability issue. And one of the things they referred to was an incident in Winnipeg. And I think I sent you a link to a story about that. Maybe you'd like to share that story with our audience. I'm going to
read the story for you. Now, this deals with something called Center Venture, which arranges, quote-unquote, weird deal with Can-Ad Inns over at Winnipeg Hotels. This is according to investigative accountant Al Rosen. He questions the legitimacy of their arrangement. It's a piece from CBC News, Sean Cavanaugh and Joanne Lavasseur. New revelations about Center Venture and its dealings in the expansion of the RBC Convention Center as Winnipeg Mayor Brian Bowman reiterating his call for an update on how the Downtown Development Agency operates. We have an obligation to Winnipeggers to ensure that everything that can be done to ensure greater openness and transparency, especially when it comes to land transactions dealing with millions of dollars of taxpayers' dollars, he said Tuesday. CBC News has learned that Can-Ad Inns owns 11% of both the St. Regis Hotel and the former Carlton Inn in downtown Winnipeg, even though it never used its own money to acquire the stake in the two Center Venture Development Corporation-owned hotels. The company was asked to be involved in the deal by Center Venture, the city's arm's-length development agency, so that it could help avoid detrimental tax impacts the owners of the hotels would have to pay. Bowman and the city council had no idea about that arrangement, the mayor said. In a statement issued Tuesday afternoon, Center Venture's board of directors said it has kept the city and the provincial government in the loop regarding the transactions. The first priority was to purchase two properties in the district that posed safety and security issues, the Carlton Inn and the St. Regis Hotel. This effort was broadly supported by all of our downtown stakeholders. The city and the province were kept abreast of these transactions and provided financial support, the board statement reads in part. Center Venture also maintains the deal was completely above board. I can assure you there is no benefit to them, Can-Ad Inns, as well, no cost to them. They are accommodating an unusual situation to help us get through this. That's according to Philip Sheps. He's the lawyer who acted on behalf of Center Venture. Leo Liadowski, Can-Ad's executive chair, said, I am prepared to assist, according to Sheps. Center Venture bought the separate companies that owned both properties about 2 years ago, but it wanted to structure the deal so that the original owner would minimize the amount of federal tax that they would have to pay. If Center Venture had bought the properties on its own, the owners would have been on the books for capital gains taxes on the sale. And that meant Center Venture needed to find a private sector partner who would be willing to assume part ownership in the companies controlling the properties, which would lessen the taxes the owners of the hotel would have to pay. It asked Liadowski to take part and gave him more than $1.4 million in interest-free loans so that he could buy 11% ownership in each hotel. At some point, it expects Liadowski to pay back the loans and return the ownership in the hotels without having profited from the deal. Senator Venture also spent nearly $500,000 on legal and accounting costs to put together the two deals. Senator Venture did not disclose CanAd-In's involvement in its statement of operations as of 2013. "It's just a weird deal that needed to be put together in this way," said Ross McGowan. He's the former Senator Venture president and CEO who oversaw the arrangement. "The Income Tax Act is a very large act, and we were caught in a little wee pinhole." But investigative accountant Al Rosen questions the legitimacy of the arrangement. "He questions whether the 11% is anything other than an attempt to avoid paying taxes," said Rosen, an investigative accountant at the Accountability Research Corporation in Toronto. "It's also a transaction that may have been set up to try to benefit Center Venture people of Winnipeg, at the expense of the rest of Canada." Bowman said he wants a thorough review of Center Venture. "You know, this is taxpayer money. We want to make sure that we have all the facts so that we can make informed decisions. And we're going to be doing a mandate and governance review with Center Venture to ensure that, you know, the checks and balances that Winnipeggers are expected are being followed." Rosen said it appears that CanAd-In's is not risking anything through its involvement in the deal. "And we have years and years of tax court decisions saying you didn't have anything at risk, so we're not going to deem this a legitimate transaction." CanAd-In said it was just trying to help out when approached by Center Venture. "We acted on the request to assist them in a complicated transaction that without a private industry investor would have them, Center Venture, and ultimately the citizens of Winnipeg, pay an unnecessary tax." That according to Cindy Carswell, she's CanAd-In's vice president. Their legal counsel explained the situation and that there was really nothing untowards in the transaction. Transaction's also been recommended by Deloitte, their tax consultant. Despite the part ownership of the hotels, CanAd-In does not share in profits or losses. The hotel lost nearly $31,000 in 2013, according to statements filed to the City of Winnipeg. All losses were covered by Center Venture. "Now, they would be very uncommon because what you're saying is that you own 11% of each of these two companies," said Rosen, "and you should be absorbing the losses and having the profits." McGowan disputes the notion, though, saying that the deal was anything but above board. "It's really no different than you or I taking advantage of tax laws when we are doing our personal income tax. You try and take every benefit you can," McGowan said. "We'd be paying additional taxes as a public institution than we have to." Noting that lawyers, accountants, the Center Venture Board, and the Manitoba government were consulted before it was determined that the risk was worth the business deal. "They are complicated deals. They are weird deals, but they are done with absolute utmost propriety." After initially denying the request, CanAdVenture eventually gave CBC News a chance to review its agreement with CanAd-In's. The agreement contains a potential purchase option clause for CanAd-In's, subject to future agreed upon price. CanAd-Venture's development manager Loretta Martin explains that this clause does not benefit CanAd-In, and if it is deciding that they want to buy the hotels.
So, Dave, just to explain why that's significant, is that Winnipeg is often held out as a successful model of this civic community improvement venture initiative,
right,
to the rest of the country. And consultants have included in reports for Cobourg Town Council references back to Center Venture. However, the Cobourg Taxpayers Association is claiming that this is an example of the kind of thing that they're worried about is going to happen in Cobourg. So what was your impression of the Center Venture deal?
Well, it sounds like a tax dodge to me, first of all. I don't think there's any room. I mean, if you're trying to do an above board deal, this idea that they don't want the other guy to have to pay a capital tax, that's all they were really trying to avoid here, right?
That's right.
It was all about the capital tax, the capital inferred. I can't remember the exact phrasing now for some reason. But basically, it was a capital tax debenture. And what that means is, so you sell your property, you made a profit, you got to pay taxes on that profit.
Right.
Simple deal. But if you get someone to sort of slip into the consortium that owns the two properties, mm-hmm. then it's not really you're not really transferring ownership at that point. It's mm-hmm. still essentially the same owner mm-hmm. on paper anyway. And that way you don't have to pay that capital gains tax. That's what that term is. Thank you.
So the CIVI, the board of directors, is both a private and a public board.
Right.
So that's a mixture of some people from business background that have experience in investment, in loans, in doing development. And then you have usually somebody from, in Winnipeg's case, it would have been the city. Locally, it would be from the town that also sits on this. And they're the ones that decide. Now, what the kinds of things that they do is they will help develop vacant properties or underutilized properties. They also take applications and approve these grants and loans for capital to enhance or to encourage mm-hmm. the development. But they also, and this is what caught my eye, was they also have the ability to buy and sell land and holdings. And I think this is what this Winnipeg example really is a good case of, mm-hmm. is the city just doesn't let things sit vacant. And one of the issues I know you and I have talked about before is how there are vacant, not vacant buildings, but there are buildings downtown that are owned that people aren't developing, or they're leaving to be empty. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge issue in the downtown because nobody's investing, nobody's trying to fix anything up. And this turns away potential lessees for the storefronts.
That's right.
So that's part of it as well. And so that's basically what the civvy is. And I guess the thing is within the report, it's interesting. There's a couple of things when you start to dig down or scrape down into it. You find out, first of all, they cite the fact that there are high commercial taxes. And this is one of the issues that has been blocking people from investing in the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also fascinating that they admit at one point, and this is a quote, the growth strategies built around industrial and commercial recruitment are less and less effective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just fascinating to see how buried inside this is this indictment of the efforts that have been going on for so long. I guess they're starting to find that attracting businesses, and commercial industry to Cobourg is not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot's resting on this civvy initiative.
Well, and Bob Sanderson essentially said the same thing today when they were talking about the closing of the Idea Hub.
Yes.
He's saying that they need, it's not something as large, but they still need a business hub, a business incubator, I believe is the term they're using. And I believe that's true. I still think we need a business incubator. I think it provided a stable place, a stable base for operations for a number of companies.
31.
I realize that the space at the current location is not, maybe it's too large. I don't know. We started at that space, Northumberland Small Town Radio. We started there. We became Northumberland 89.7. That's where we began. That was sort of the seeds of our growth. So I still believe we need initiatives like this. I think the concerns outlined by the Taxpayers Association, though, and referencing what happened in Winnipeg, for instance, well, I think they're sort of getting it wrong. In my opinion, they're getting it wrong. First of all, we don't have any major blights, if you will, in our downtown. There are no major buildings in the downtown that are vacant that could be purchased by the town or done in some type of strange land transfer deal in our downtown. I think there's only one building that comes to mind, really, and that is the building used to be the Scotiabank, was the law office for mm-hmm. a while for the Crown Attorneys. That building there is really the only one in the downtown. I think that in the Park Theater, if we want to buy, maybe this is what it is. Maybe they're preempting the possible purchase of the Park Theater or the possible deal. Because remember what happened when they tried to negotiate a deal mm-hmm. with individuals in town that wanted to buy it? They wanted to get a deal from the town, and the Taxpayers Association said, wait a minute here. But really, if their concern is that the commercial taxes are too high, the best way to reduce commercial taxes is to get more commercial entities within there so that they can maintain the tax base at a specific set level. How do you do that? You got to encourage people to come down. Now, we can't give tax incentives. We can't give breaks to companies on their hydro. We can't give breaks to people. And we saw with the mm-hmm. new hospital facility mm-hmm. or the new doctor's offices, rather, located near the hospital, that they don't want to give away hundreds of thousands of dollars or even $100,000. For the development of something like that. So having said that, because we can't do giveaways, we've got to be able to work with community partners and community stakeholders, especially downtown stakeholders, to try and encourage the growth and the synergy of economic development that is in our downtown.
Well, and also, too, it's been mentioned before in presentations where this sort of idea has been pitched that traditional lending institutions, banks, mortgage holders, those kinds of things, don't necessarily support these kinds of enterprises. So where do we go? And I also think part of this is the town is running out of options. Mm-hmm. And even in their own report, for them to say it's becoming less and less effective for us to go out and try and bring in industry, it's really a tough haul for us. And that's not saying they're not doing it. It's just it's getting tougher and tougher.
Mm-hmm.
they have to find other ways. And you know, we more and more the municipality has to invest itself into trying to stimulate this kind of thing. And there's an interesting section in the report where they talk about return on investment. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this is the kind of thing that I think the mayor and others would talk about the long view. In the short term, yes, there may be a bumpy road to kind of get us where we're going. But in the long term, this mm-hmm. is going to be a beneficial.
Okay, but again, you know, if you want to look at the ROI model, then all we really need to do is speak to Wendy Gibson up at the CFDC. I mean, they've been funding businesses, not just the 31 businesses that were at the Idea Hub, mm-hmm. but the Human Being got money through CFDC. Sure. Yep. We paid that money back. The town who provided us with a grant, yep. we paid that money back. I mean, the reality is this money is going to be paid back. And mm-hmm. oftentimes it's paid back in a very short period of time. We paid ours back within 5 years, for instance. Now, the problem I have with CFDCs, and it goes primarily to the argument you just made about banks and institutions, mm-hmm. because banks and other traditional lending institutions won't finance these types of economic development or these types of business initiatives, it falls to organizations like the CFDC and other organizations, perhaps like the CIVI. Mm-hmm. The problem I have is that they tend to charge ridiculous rates. Mm-hmm. I think we were paying 12% for our loan from the CFDC, when the prime rate at that time was 6%. So the interest rates are extremely high. Now, the argument that was put forth by Rick Norlock when I confronted him about this, and I even asked the CFDC about this, I said, look, this is money that's coming from taxpayers, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yes, but we charge this rate because you are obviously a credit risk because you couldn't get it at a traditional institution. That's why we charge more. It's like a payday, not quite as high as a payday loan. Let's not be ridiculous. But the reality is banks aren't lending money. They're not doing institutional. They're doing primarily institutional investment. They're not doing retail loans out there unless it's a mortgage or a car loan. Mm-hmm. They're not going to give loans at the retail level. They don't need to. Their profit margins are all at the upper level. They get their money from institutional lenders. They get their money from big players. They don't need to work with the small potatoes people. And this is something the Prime Minister has been talking about as well, because you can't get our economy going until you get those people who are at the bottom. As we know, the people at the bottom end spend 110% of their income. Those are the people who are driving the economy. It's not the people at the very top. It's not the people who are comfortable for banks to lend to. So I would urge CFDCs and the CIVIs out there to maybe reevaluate their interest rates.
One of the things that says in the report, at least from my reading, is that these are low interest loans, you know, a couple of percentage points. And the town will get that money back. You're absolutely right. It must mm-hmm. be paid back. And they will, that return on investment will help fund and create further monies for investment and to mm-hmm. keep the operation running. I guess it comes down, though, Dave, don't you think, to what you believe ideologically? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a laissez-faire type capitalist that says, you know, let business be business and keep it out of the public sector, then mm-hmm. obviously the Coburg Taxpayers Association is appealing. Its appeal is something you would support. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of the realistic approach to the situation, maybe not realistic, but another approach to the situation is maybe we need to have government getting involved in local economy, in local economic mm-hmm. development, because truth is, I don't know who's going to ride in and save the day. I mean, at the best of times, you know, you have some federal organization that can help a little bit here, a little bit there. But it really comes down to what are we going to do ourselves? Mm-hmm. And I think that this is, I think, a big part of the rationale. And I'm thinking that the town and local municipalities here in Northumberland are running out of options. Mm-hmm. They're backed into a corner. They need to have this economic development, and they have to come up with innovative ideas.
They've got to come up with a funding model themselves. It's funny, you know, well, not funny, ha-ha, but funny as in, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening again. I'm watching the budget being brought in Great Britain. I've watched what's happening in the United States. I've watched what's happened in this country mm-hmm. in the past. And it seems to me that what we are seeing, even from Taxpayers Association and Canadian Federation of Taxpayers, for instance, they're all about austerity for the average guy. They're all about not government not getting involved in the grassroots, if you will, in sustainability of local economies. They don't have any problem with corporate welfare, with large, big multinationals. Oh, well, they get billions of dollars for this, or they get $100 million for this, or you're doing some R&D, here's $50 million. All this taxpayer money going to these corporations to do what? To provide jobs. Mm-hmm. When we know that if we want to improve our local economies, what do we have to do? Well, we have to help sustain employment. Mm-hmm. So why is it okay at the big money level to give out all kinds of money, mm-hmm. and not at the lower end of the spectrum. I mean, I don't understand the rationale behind that. I don't get why it's okay to give billions of dollars away to large companies because they employ people. Because what we're doing is we're telling large corporations that the Canadian government and Canadian taxpayers mm-hmm. will subsidize their own jobs. That's what we're telling large corporations. Don't worry, if you can't pay us, we'll give you some tax money. We'll help subsidize those large jobs. And yet, you know, there was a report out today about the oil and gas industry sitting on several trillion dollars. Mm-hmm. That's money in their pocket while they get tax write-offs because they're closing down this facility or letting these people go. They get to reduce their capital gains income taxes as a result of the losses. So they're sitting pretty. They're getting money from money they don't have to pay in taxes. Plus, they're getting tax breaks from the federal government. Plus, they're giving them money for R&D and other things to try and spur growth in that sector.
Well, and in terms of the local economy, I mean, when you look at the downtown, the building owners have owned these buildings for decades. Mm-hmm. And at one point, it was vibrant and people were investing and making change. But I mean, it's been 10, 15, 20 years since we've last seen mm-hmm. a really major investment by these building owners mm-hmm. into these buildings.
Well, the last time I would argue was with John Lee. Mm-hmm. When he bought that south side of King West, just south of where the human being was. And then mm-hmm. he bought the high school. And there was a lot of concern. Oh, this guy's coming in and buying up everything. Blah, 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 blah. And you know what? Maybe he didn't ingratiate himself to the townsfolk. That's fine. He still poured lots and lots of money into those buildings, refurbed them, split them into condos. And now those, for the most part, unless all of those businesses have gone away, have been very vibrant, have been around for a number of years, mm-hmm. and they help promote stable wow. development and growth. Here's an example of a guy who wasn't even liked, quite frankly, and I'm putting it out there, and yet he still managed to have enough faith in our town that he put all this money in there. And he got nothing but flack.
Well, and I think this is what they're trying to do, is they want people to come in and do those, make those kinds of investments. And I think this is what the overall goal is. But on top of that, Monday night, also the economic development CEO, Wendy Gibson, came forward and gave the new 3 to 5 year economic development plan. And mm-hmm. this one was really interesting as well, because while they are talking about attracting and promoting and supporting local industry and commercial development, they also mentioned an entrepreneurial business hub being developed right. in Cobourg. And you mentioned it earlier, but it was just earlier this month that the Idea Hub in Port Hope closed. So I'm wondering, what do you think? Is this an opportunity for Cobourg and Port Hope to come together? Is it an opportunity for Cobourg to take some initiative and get ahead of the curve?
I'm going to go out and say I think it's an opportunity for the county to get involved. Maybe the county, because I mean, right now, Bob Sanderson is talking about finding a location in his town. Cobourg's talking about setting up mm-hmm. something in their town. You know, we've got the situation where the two towns are going to be fighting over, and they're not looking for major multinationals or major retailers or major manufacturers to come into town anymore. They know that the heart and blood of this economy is going to be small and medium-sized businesses. So now we're just fighting over those. So why wouldn't the county pick up the gauntlet here? Why should the municipalities have to fork money over from their economic development budgets when there should be an overall, I believe anyway, Northumberland view? Because again, we're talking about bringing taxpayers into the county, mm-hmm. whether it's Crammy, because there's that new food facility in Crammy, whether it's here where we got Kaylee Chips is now here in the town mm-hmm. of Cobourg, plus mm-hmm. of course Weetabix is now growing to some degree. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that. But we should see it at a county level. I think if we focused on a county approach, maybe we would get better results. We're going to take a quick break. We do have a caller online. I'm going to ask him to hold. We're going to be right back after a few words from our sponsors. Please stick around. And as I said, we do have a caller online. If you do want to give us a call, though, please feel free to do so at 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. We'll be right back after this break.
It's a lazy afternoon.
Every Monday afternoon at 12:06.
It's soup to nuts.
A little music.
Lane White with What's Happening.
And you, Pat Ryan.
And you, Ken McEwen.
And we are the Knots.
Two minds without a single thought.
On Northumberland 89.7.
Truly local radio.
2-1-0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Fly me to the moon.
real estate on the moon? Maybe someday, and you can bet Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty will still be the go-to brokerage. Not surprising, with 360 realtors on call, over 40 in the Coburg-Port Hope area, helping you is what we do. For out-of-this-world service beyond your expectations, talk to a realtor from your independently owned and operated Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage.
Hi, I'm Wendy Bellin.
And I'm David Hayes.
And we are part of the Cedar Rail Band. And our show, It's All About the Music, is heard Wednesday evenings from 7 till 8 p.m.
The show presents the lives and music of local singer-songwriters, as well as the lives and music of famous musical icons from the 1950s to the present.
So please tune in to It's All About the Music on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
It's time for a jailbreak. Imprison yourself with incredible food at the Jailhouse. Their delicious menu offers daily food specials, including Monday night fish and chips and Tuesday night curry dinner, both for $10. Beer from $4.75, wine from $5, Wednesday whiskey bar $4, and Sunday Caesars $5. Plus, enjoy live entertainment Friday and Saturday nights at the old Coburg Jail. The Jailhouse Tavern, 77 Albert Street, online at thejailhouse.ca.
Come on out to Hometown Bingo for our daily specials. Monday, 3-strip book for $5. Tuesday, back to basic bingo. Wednesday, purchase a $60 verifier, get a 5-strip free. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, $2 per strip. Matinee sessions, $2 per strip. We are located at 884 Division Street. Give us a call at 905-372-5426 or visit us online at www.hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884.
Northumberland 89.7 is powered by our volunteers. You can help us continue to be Northumberland's truly local radio station. Contact us by emailing info@northumberland897.ca.
And welcome back to the Drive Time. We do have a caller online. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're doing good. How's yourself today?
Yeah. Oh, so far so good. At least it stopped raining.
So you have a comment or a question regarding our conversation about the, well, it's not just about economic development. It's actually about
local economy.
Sustainable local economy.
Well, it's kind of about economic development.
Well,
yeah.
You're a local businessman, and what we're talking about really is sustainable small business, because that's what small economies like ours rely on, right?
Right. It is. And, I mean, the biggest problem with any of this is the taxes are just way too high for the economy. Okay, for what businesses are pulling in, the taxes, it seemed disproportionate. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I was wondering about was, okay, we seem to be going, you know, I mean, we've been in business here for almost 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's the same thing over and over again. You know, little patches. I'm just wondering, with these economic development people, isn't it time for, like, a really big step, okay, something major, okay? For instance, and a mall downtown in either Coburg, like, cover it over.
Oh, like closing King Street, like they do in Bywood Market in Ottawa kind of thing,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, okay? Because if they've been hacking away at this for, you know, like you say, 10, 15 years, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and nothing's changed.
Mm-hmm.
They keep coming in with all these little fixes. Maybe it's time for something dramatic.
Well, you know, Ed, it's really interesting that you say that, because I think this is what this Civi idea in Coburg is meant to do. I think they're trying to do something completely outside the box for a municipality in Ontario. I know that there are other municipalities around that do this, and I'm afraid I didn't find out every last one. On the Winnipeg example was the one that sort of stood out.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of having a dedicated arm's length public-private board of directors that is going to go out, they're going to be strategically marketing, they're going to be encouraging investment, they're going to supply grants and loans for stimulus from a local coffers to try and bring in business. Because, you know, I was just saying to Dave on the break, you know, I remember back in the late 80s, mid-80s through to the early mid-90s, there was a sort of a 10-year period when Camry, Toyota came to Cambridge, Alliston got Honda, the Civic Honda plant,
And everybody was scrambling to bring large industry, huge industry, international industry to the municipalities.
Around us, around here, I think it was Dean Trailers or something.
Absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely.
If I remember
and
right.
Those days are now long gone. And like I was saying earlier, even in their own report, they're saying this approach is becoming less and less effective. And Dave, I know you were saying when, at different times that you don't see the need for federal, or not the need, but the stimulus from the federal government is just not flowing the same way. So I think, I don't know what you think, Ed, but are we not coming to a time now where we're just going to have to dig into our own pockets pretty deep and just start doing something?
In Port Hope here, they got rid of the entire economic development group, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And brought in other people. They were supposed to bring in all kinds of new ideas, okay? This is the type of thing that I'm thinking. Something has to be done differently. An industrial park, really, does that matter anymore? You know, like, you know, to have huge tracts of business-ready land or whatever you call it to build up new buildings when we've got all kinds of empty ones already.
Well, I'm thinking of the former Canadian Tire store, frankly.
There's all kinds of things like that. But what I'm getting at is the economy's different. Everybody shops online. It's tough on little stores to flog stuff. Because everybody shops online. So what do? You make it hard to get downtown. You make it awkward because if it rains, nobody wants to go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say. I mean, if you're looking at me personally, I say what we got to do is, rather than economic, we got to change people's way of doing things. All the young people just shop online. Okay, all us older people, we still go to these little stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You can't go online and have your refrigerator fixed, Ed. Somebody's got to come out there and fix your fridge.
No, you can't, but the refrigerators are so cheap that they're not asking me to fix them anymore.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is what's happening. People's mindsets have all changed. When we were growing up, man, we went out, we bought a fridge, we wanted it the last 25, 30 years.
My mom's
fridge, you never saw anybody. Nowadays, they change the fridge every time they change the cell phone, you know, like a different color, whatever. Then they complain about garbage, you know, that this is going on. But what I'm getting at, basically, is the fact that people have to shop in the stores that are here if they want the stores to be able to pay taxes to do whatever the town wants to do with, you know. So it just seems to me that maybe the money should be going instead of I don't know where it's going now, but maybe it should be going to a thing where, you know, they're saying, come on, people, you got to shop downtown. I mean major money. I'm talking about a whole big campaign and all this kind of stuff. To say to people, if you want your kid to have a job in town, you got to shop in town. If you want your country to be strong, you got to buy Canadian stuff.
But isn't there a buy local initiative on right now? I think there's a local website. I see stuff at the mall promoting buying local. I thought there was an initiative like that already.
Yeah, but is it big enough?
Shop local. Yeah.
Do you put your money? Okay. Do you put your money? You got to change. Like I say, it just seems to me you've got to change people's attitudes. I own a store, and my own kids shop online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
is that the only place they shop is online?
Pretty much.
Because I know,
will go to a mall, to a larger store. Now, unfortunately, our mall in Coburg, I mean, it's jokingly referred to as a drywall mall because, you know, there's effectively nothing there. The kids don't even hang around there anymore.
Well, they got chased out by security, right? I mean, that's the reality. You know, I mean, when you and I were growing up, I mean, we didn't have malls so much. But I remember when the mall craze started, there were like four malls within walking distance in my neighborhood growing up in Toronto, with Girard Square and a whole bunch of other places like that. And that's where kids hung out. And, you know, they had video arcades in there or at the time when I was a kid, pinball.
And what do? They get rid of the food court.
Well, they got rid of the food because they said they didn't want kids hanging out there, but they didn't realize. What you don't realize is you're driving away your customer base.
Absolutely.
People that are going to shop there. They may not shop there today, but they will shop there, and they'll be long-term shoppers. I mean,
so this is what it seems to me to be the issue is people are still shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But why is their money not going back into town? And, you know, I mean, there should be a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me that should be able to figure out that whatever they've been doing for the last 20 years isn't working, so stop doing it.
Well, you're right. It is broken, okay? And it needs to be fixed. Absolutely.
And it needs to be fixed big time. So do you block off King Street, or here, do you block off Walton Street, and you put an anchor store at each end?
No,
Do you change the attitude in downtown Port Hope and say, okay, people obviously are not flocking to downtown Port Hope because of the pretty street and all that kind of stuff. If they do come down, are they walking around with bags in their hand of stuff they bought?
Mm-hmm.
Not really, this is what I'm saying. What they're doing doesn't seem to be working. So why do they keep? What'd they say? If you keep doing the same thing, you're crazy, or?
Well, yes, if you do the same thing over and over again and expect change, that's a sign of insanity.
You know, why do they do that? And then you talked about the government giving money away. Okay, if they're going to give money away, they give it to Caterpillar. Okay, they give millions and millions and millions of dollars to Caterpillar, and they go anyway.
That's right. Well, that was kind of what the point I was trying to make earlier.
Who pays that money back? Do they pay that money back?
No.
Or do they just walk?
No, they walk. And
Bombardier wants the same thing?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir, buddy.
I know, but, you got to say, wait a second, how much is a job worth?
Well, exactly.
Okay, when you go to General Motors and all these other places and they give them, millions, many, many mega millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, and they say, well, they're too big to fail or whatever it is.
We should point out that the automakers did pay their money back, though.
Yeah, most of it, whatever was considered a loan.
Yep.
But some of them were considered grants and gifts.
Yeah,
and,
no, absolutely. But the point you're making is the point I made a moment ago, which is Canadian taxpayers are tired of subsidizing corporations to provide them with jobs. I mean, when you think about it, if someone is working...
You're saying it in a nice way. I'm tired of giving industries like Caterpillar millions and millions of dollars to have them walk away 2 years later and not have
absolutely.
To pay it back.
Absolutely, and we all are.
Whereas they won't give somebody in a small business 10, 15, 20 grand.
Yep.
Because they're afraid he's going to walk away.
No, well, exactly. So, and that's the point I was making earlier. I mean, who's really the high risk here?
Absolutely.
The little guy trying to employ four or five people and help the community out, or the guy who allegedly employs 150 people or more? Let's think about it. With the tax breaks and the incentives and all kinds of the loans, if they're paying somebody $30 an hour, how much of that $30 an hour comes out of the public coffers? Are we paying $20 an hour for that? Is that person really only being paid by the company $10 an hour? That's the question that nobody wants to ask themselves.
Well, this is why
I think there needs to be a rethink on how we do this. And I think you're right.
Economic development has to change. They've been doing the same thing over and over and over again, little patchwork quilts. So do something dramatic.
Yep. Well, that's what, and Bob Sanderson said that today, that he wants to move away from these giant ideas where we're trying to woo the big manufacturers and really focus on the smaller businesses that are going to grow the local economy. That's really where the focus needs
Coburg
to be.
Coburg has lots of little factories that pay good wages that nobody even knows about.
Yep, they sure do.
And, there's, I don't know. It just seems to me I get tired of hearing the same economic development. We're going to do this. We're going to paint the storefronts. We're going to, man, you got to do something else.
Absolutely.
Because that's not working.
Thanks, Ed.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right. That was Ed White. He's a regular contributor here on our Wednesday show. We're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more and probably wrap this puppy up because it's already 10 to 7. Can't believe how fine and quickly the time flies. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Drive Time right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
During Husqvarna's Walk Mower Trade-In Days, you can trade in your old mower and save. Until April 30th, your local Husqvarna dealer is offering a $50 instant rebate on a new Husqvarna Walk Mower when you trade in any other brand walk mower. Upgrade to Husqvarna's legendary ergonomics, power, and performance, and enjoy great savings, too. Visit Kennedy Automotive Industrial Supply, 109 Elgin Street, East Coburg, or call 905-372-2261 during Husqvarna's Walk Mower Trade-In Days to trade in your mower and save.
Jim's Pizza Palace Coburg is a proud sponsor of Chef's Corner. Next time you place an order with Jim's Pizza Coburg, mention you heard this ad on Northumberland 89.7 and receive a complimentary garlic bread with cheese. All the best to you and yours in this new year.
This is Allison Houston from Port Hope Public Library, your destination for inspiration, imagination, and information. Port Hope Public Library welcomes members of all ages and a library card is free to anyone who lives or works in the municipality of Port Hope. It's all you need to borrow audiobooks, movies, CDs, books, and magazines. One library card, two library branches, welcoming community places. The Mary J. Benson branch is located at 31 Queen Street in Port Hope, and you can find the Garden Hill branch at 3609 Ganaresca Road in Garden Hill. The website, phpl.ca, is your access to online resources, ebooks, library information, and programming. Port Hope Public Library, we can answer all your questions. Call us at 905-885-4712 or email us, library@porthope.ca.
Are you concerned about the air quality of your home? Tired of costly repairs to your furnace? Call Pritchard's Climate Care for a free air quality assessment. Sign up for Pritchard's Maintenance Protection Plans to get your furnace serviced at half price. Easy payment plans are available on approved credit. For all your air quality solutions, call 905-885-8216 and book an appointment today. Pritchard's Climate Care. We care because we're your neighbors.
Keep your dial locked right here at 89.7 Truly Local Radio.
Hey, and welcome back to The Drive Time. I'm Dave Glover. Thanks to Ed White for that call. Interesting perspective. But basically, you know, saying what we have been saying and his whole point about, you know, we always talk about economic development. Oh, every year you hear something from the economic development people. But we don't actually hear anything concrete. We hear lots of wonderful ideas, lots of wonderful big schemes. But as Ed said, let's put the money into smaller initiatives. To his point that people are buying online, though, the recent studies out from Canadian Retail Association says that Canadians do a lot of browsing online, but only 47% of Canadians are actually buying online right now. So it's not the majority. It's not even half yet. But one of the things that I know that some people do here locally, and some of the shops can do this, is you can buy online and have it shipped to the local retailer in your community. People do that with Smart Set, or they were doing it with these other stores.
And those will be coming very soon to areas like ours. I've heard talk about that. Dave, another thing that's really fascinating is today that was in the news that I think is relevant to this is that they're talking about the GO Transit extension.
Yeah.
And I think when you know, Ed's point about doing something radical or something different, bringing GO Transit to this area I think would be seminal because it could do a couple of things. One, it could change the demographic down here. Right now we're very heavy on seniors. People are living on fixed incomes. You know, this is part of the stagnation of our local economy, and we don't like to talk about it. But, you know, people who came down here from Toronto, they were drunk with all the money they made for selling their homes, and then they come down here. Now they've lived down here 5, 10, 15, 20 years. That fixed income is not have the same purchasing power, and I think we're suffering a lot from that. So to have GO Transit come here would mean that people could commute west of us, and I think that's a really important aspect. Also, acknowledging the fact that, you know, most of the good jobs are not in this area. You know, people like myself and others commute to Belleville, to Peterborough, to Oshawa, and to Toronto because that's where good paying jobs are. So if we could have that public transit piece, that might do a lot to bring a whole different demographic down here that might stimulate the economy. They would have regular incomes. They would start to buy houses and spend the money that Ed was, you know, crying for. And I agree. I mean, we need people to buy local, but they've got to live here and they've got to be making good money.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a really big piece. The other thing too is that we've got to get business to stop using precarious labor, part-time jobs, 15 to 20 hours a week, and paralyzing people who can't find good paying jobs with benefits, with some security. That's going to also go a long way to stimulating the economy.
We should point out, too, that the majority of retailers in the downtown, and I know this from talking to members of the BIA, actually pay above minimum wage to their employees. And a lot of them, for the most part, and I'm thinking about, you know, down where the fashion district is and some of the stores and even in Port Hope and stuff, these are people who work full-time. So these aren't part-time precarious employment. Now, sure, some of the stores that are open later at night, they might hire somebody to work part-time in the evenings. But for the most part, you know, I'm thinking of places like Somerville. So I'm thinking of Audrey's in downtown. I'm thinking of, you know, All Creatures Great and Small and Spark and places like that. You know, the Women's Bra Boutique and you know, Facies over in Port Hope. These places have full-time employees who are making above minimum wage. They're not $20, $30 an hour jobs. They're not, if you will, really good-paying jobs. But they're above minimum wage.
Dave, but one of the things you just pointed out was they're locally owned businesses. They're not franchises.
Right.
They're not big chains. Those are the ones that are using this model where they're using precarious labor. If you go and you look at the Walmarts, the Home Hardware, all these, how many full-time people do they have? How many part-time? I mean, that would be, I mean, if they wanted to do some more studies about a local economy, that would be something that I think really needs a close look.
Yeah, I think that's probably a really good idea. That would be a wonderful initiative, too, for something like the CIVI, because the reality is, before we can determine what we need to determine where we are. Mm-hmm. And if we determine that the bulk of employment here is precarious employment, then obviously that's where we need to start the ball rolling, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have the YES program for Youth Employment Service, and they have EI programs where they will subsidize employees X number of dollars by hiring an employee. I know the province right now is floating the idea of a possible a minimum income level. Mm-hmm. Those are all things that would help. But we need to remember that, you know, in the last 15 years, we have seen the largest shift of wealth from one sector to another. And what we've seen is that sector that's receiving the bulk of the wealth. I mean, we've seen profits for corporations in North America alone increase by 50% in a lot of cases. And the bulk of that money goes to the top echelon. It's the people at the bottom who are subsidizing their own low-paid jobs through tax breaks and initiatives that are, quite frankly, they're the spenders. They're the ones who drive our consumer economy. And if we are going to be a market-driven consumer economy, we need to remember we need to put money back in the pockets of consumers.
Absolutely. And I also think, too, that, you know, enough of the naysaying. You know, we need a bold step. I think Ed was right. We need a bold step, something different, something that's going to be stimulating. And we can't have these red herrings flying out there that, you know, sort of half-baked ideas from critics who maybe, you know, are just pointing at the wrong thing.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right on that one. That's going to bring it to a close for today. You are listening to The Drive Time on Northumberland 89.7. This is Canada's only holistic political chat. I want to thank my guest in studio, Rob Washburn, for our weekly rendition of Consider This. Joining us next week to discuss the federal budget will be Kim Rudd, your Member of Parliament for Northumberland Peterborough South, as well as the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Natural Resources. Taking us out, The Beatles and Taxman. We'll see you next time. By the way, folks, I don't write the world. I just report it.
Should 5% appear too small?